Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents I Sleep Around, the humorous memoir of a nomadic writer, by Sue Ann Jafarian. Narrated by Elizabeth Wiley. The Road is Calling, by Sue Ann Jafarian. The road is calling, and I must go, no longer content to sit, no longer happy being rooted. Sticks and bricks no longer hold me. Material things no longer entice. The road is calling, subtle, seductive. It fills my ears with tales of new places, beckons me with promises of new people, woos me with new tastes and smells, taunts me with the waiting unknown. The road is calling, like a sexy lover, tantalizing me with new experiences, whispering about new adventures, embracing me with miles of comfort. Life is waiting for me on the road. Introduction. No matter who you are, living on the road changes you. It cannot be helped. The experiences you have, the different people you meet, and the challenges you face all work together to mold and shape you, like a clay pot turning on a potter's wheel. As I pen this book, I am changed from when I began this journey. Not a different person, but I'd like to think that I'm a better version of myself. Traveling through the country via roads instead of on airplanes forces you to slow down and see people and places up close and personal, both the good and the not so good. It also forces you to get to know yourself up close and personal, both the good and the not so good. Living full time on the road ejects you out of your comfort zone. Not just once, but over and over until it becomes the norm. Until you come to expect and even welcome it. The change does not happen overnight. You simply don't begin a journey of this type and the next day, boom, you're different. It's a slow change, rather like a meandering river that winds around bends with low-hanging trees dripping with Spanish moss, including the occasional chiggers. At some point during your journey, you realize it, and when it happens, you might find yourself rather surprised. There's no set time frame for this. It could happen a month into traveling, 6 months, or a few years. But at some point, you will realize that the changes in you finally caught up with the big change you made in your lifestyle. Living full-time on the road in a recreational vehicle, RV, is not for everyone. Not everyone has positive experiences stemming from it. Most of my experiences have been very positive, with a few glitches here and there. I love this lifestyle. It feels as if I have finally discovered the road, or many roads, I was destined to travel. Before I took to the open road as a lifestyle, I read 3 books about road travel. Travels with Charlie by John Steinbeck. Blue Highways by William Least Heat Moon. Nomadland by Jessica Bruder. I found Travels with Charlie charming, but a bit romanticized. The other 2 books were much more realistic. All were, and still are, worth reading. Blue Highways was my favorite of the 3. It urged me to get off interstates and seek out small towns along lesser-traveled roads. It's something I still do years later. Nomadland was the most heartbreaking, and is now an excellent hit movie. It mostly tells of people forced to take the road because of financial hardship or other personal reasons. That was not my case, or the case of many of my friends, who are also living full-time on the road. Our reasons are much more about learning and experiencing new things. Every mile I've driven, every person I've met, and everything I've seen has changed me in some way. The United States is stunningly beautiful. I've seen things that have left me gobsmacked, like Carlsbad Caverns, the Grand Tetons reflected in a lake, the Badlands of South Dakota, and the Badlands of North Dakota. I've met people so different from me, yet so kind and interesting. There were some who were not that gracious, but they were definitely in the minority. I've seen fun things that gave me a greater appreciation of the quirky side of life. I've seen bison, elk, alligators, wild turkeys, armadillos, numerous deer, and donkeys. I have become familiar with different species of birds. One of my greatest pleasures was watching a bald eagle take flight from the ground just a few yards from me. Often these animals were on the road. I've had to exercise patience, coupled with great awe, while they held up traffic before moseying along their way. Almost every day, I learn something new about a place, history, people, or even myself. This book, I Sleep Around, is the story of the first 2 years of my journey and on-the-road education, as well as the planning it took to make this happen. Originally, the book was going to cover only my first year of travel. Then, 3 months into my second year, while I was working on this book, the coronavirus pandemic hit, totally changing how people traveled and interacted with each other. Those of us living on the road full-time were nearly orphaned. When that happened, I knew I could not write a book about my first year and be done with it. I had to also chronicle the pandemic's impact on my journey, itinerary, and life. I hope this book inspires listeners to follow their own dreams, whether it be RVing or something else entirely. Section 1. A New Way of Living. If people aren't laughing at your dreams aren't big enough. Robin S. Sharma. 1. An RV? Seriously? As I go from town to town, sleeping wherever I can park my van, telling people about my journey and my books, I can't help but think I am becoming carny folk. I wrote the previous words on Facebook on October 30th, 2019, at the end of my 10th month as a full-time van traveler. As I posted those words, I was sitting at a picnic table in North Carolina. The next day, I would be giving another presentation at another library. I had spoken at many libraries and at some non-library events all over the country already, with many more on my schedule. It was a warm fall day, slightly windy. Ringing the perimeter of the rest area were trees dressed in the gold and copper of fall. I was happy, yet pensive. Soon I would be celebrating 1 year on the road, traveling the country and living full-time in a 2016 Winnebago Travato 59K, a Class B RV. It's a 20-foot van with less than 100 square feet of living space, complete with a galley and a bathroom with a shower. Before the night was over, I'd be bedding down in the parking lot of a Cracker Barrel restaurant in South Carolina. Not my first night at a Cracker Barrel or sleeping in a parking lot, nor would it be my last. In preparation for life on the road, I retired from my very long career as a corporate paralegal. I turned 66 in December of 2018 and retired from the law firm I'd been working at for almost 13 years a week later. There was a small retirement party with my friends the next day. The day after that, I sold my car. On December 31st, 2018, I took to the road as a full-time nomadic writer, leaving my life in California behind forever. Many people are surprised to learn that I was never a camper. Not ever. I didn't camp with my family growing up or as an adult. Except for the occasional summer camp as a kid, I had gone camping exactly once in my life in my early 20s. It was tent camping with friends, and definitely not for me. I had never spent time in an RV at all, nor am I very outdoorsy. When I began this, I was as outdoorsy as chintz curtains. Now I consider myself as outdoorsy as a picnic table, sturdy, stable, and outside, but still not ready to hike steep trails or overgrown paths or kayak rivers and streams. You might say I am outdoorsy light. So why did I choose to retire and take to the road in a van-size RV if I'd never done this before? Trust me, a lot of my friends asked me this often. Some are still asking, though fewer as time goes on. About 3 years before I retired, I started looking at retirement options. I took into account different cities and states and types of housing available. Although I would be a retired paralegal, I wouldn't be retired from my productive writing career. The beauty of writing is that I could and do write anywhere. My friends suggested their towns for my golden years. My family rooted for New England. I didn't have a specific place in mind. I didn't care if it got cold where I relocated, as long as it was not super cold. I wasn't wild about desert summers, either. I also wanted a place that was convenient to an airport because I wanted to travel after retirement. One thing became clear during my research. As long as I chose my location wisely, I could purchase or rent a decent place to live when I retired, but I wouldn't have a lot of money left over for extensive travel. Travel would be possible, but not as much as I wanted. Regrouping was in order. I did more research. This time, I researched retirement options, not just locations. I know people who retired to other, less expensive countries, but that didn't interest me. Some friends shared homes with other retirees to cut costs. That sounded interesting, but I wasn't on board with that idea yet. Then I stumbled across the idea of living in an RV. Wait, people really do this? Tell me more. I started reading every article and blog on full-time RVing, particularly those from people around my age. I watched hundreds of YouTube videos on the subject, including how to dump and maintain your onboard sewer system and do minor repairs. I learned how to get mail, medical help, and how to find inexpensive camping. Would I prefer staying in RV parks for a month at a time? Or would I rather go from place to place like, well, carny folk? I studied it all and made a checklist that served me well later. The more I read and researched, the more I knew this was what I wanted to do, or at least try. I could have a home and the ability to travel all wrapped up together. It simply felt right. Then I had a dream that solidified it for me. In the dream, I was sitting in an RV at a table, writing away. I had the door open and through it I could see trees and a light rain falling. More importantly, I felt at peace and happier than I had ever been. This might sound screwy to some, but having that dream was really when I knew this was the right path for me. Since then, I have often been in my RV with the sliding door open, riding away while surrounded by nature, and sometimes even with a light rain falling. And you know what? I am always happy and content when I'm doing that. My dream came true. When I started telling people I wanted to live full-time in a van, many laughed, out loud, in my face. Years before, people laughed when I told them I was going to write a book. Over 30 books later, no one is laughing, unless it's because they read a funny passage in one of my books. As with writing, many thought it was just some cockamamie idea that I would soon kick to the curb. A few friends were worried that I would be homeless. Some still think of me as homeless. Oh, ye of little faith! There were those who mulled it over, then decided it sounded like fun and very doable. Those were the people I clung to for encouragement, not the naysayers. I didn't need people peeing on my parade. But even if all had been negative on the idea, I still would have pushed ahead because, frankly, I'm pig-headed. If I hit a roadblock, I would go around it. If a bridge went out, I would build another. I would only stop if something occurred that was a clear-cut sign that I should not go forward with this idea. And there were road closures and crumbled bridges along the way. It seemed like the perfect solution. I would have a home that would also allow me to travel. I could write on the road and about the road. I could visit libraries and readers all over the country. Once the idea of retirement in an RV was firm in my mind, I set out to find the perfect RV for me. I also rented an RV for several days just to see if I really wanted to do this. At the time, members of my family would camp in the fall in Rhode Island. I couldn't find a van to rent, instead renting a Class C from Cruise America in Connecticut and driving it to the campground in Rhode Island. I highly recommend doing this if you're not that familiar with RVs. It's a good way to get a feel for them. During this time, I did my first dump, first hookups, showered, and cooked. Everything went great. I spent 5 days in it and learned two major things. One, I enjoyed the lifestyle and being in the RV. Two, I did not want a Class C or larger. RVs basically have three classifications. Class A's are the big bus-like RVs. Class B's are the van-style RVs, also known as camper vans. And Class C's are the more traditional RVs, usually with a sleeping or storage area over the cab. There are also travel trailers to consider, known as towables. Early on, I was enchanted by the idea of a Class B RV. I wanted one of the slick vans, which would be more manageable, smaller, easy to drive and park, and better on gas. I researched the different models and manufacturers and went to a couple of RV shows and dealerships to look at them. From the beginning, the Winnebago Travato caught my eye, mostly because the floor plan was more to my liking. I really disliked the Class B models with the bathroom in the middle of the van. As I told one RV salesman, I didn't want the ability to use the toilet and make breakfast at the same time. The Travato 59G had a good-sized bathroom off to the rear side. However, when I went to see one in person, I was disappointed. Not in the van. It was pretty spectacular. The problem was that the bed and some of the features were built very high, and I am very short. I was worried that over time I might injure myself trying to get in and out of that high bed. After all, I was in my 60s at the time, and sometimes needed to get up during the night. Now that I'm in my early 70s, I am really happy I made that decision. I went back to looking at other Class B and smaller Class C RVs, but my heart still belonged to the Travato. At that time, I joined a fairly new group on Facebook called Travato Owners and Wannabes, TOAW, a group for people who either owned or wanted to own a Travato. It's now a huge group, as the popularity of this vehicle has exploded over the past several years. I also joined a couple of other Facebook groups for other RV models to learn more about them from actual owners. Then, one day, I was scouting vans online and saw that Winnebago had released a new model of Travato. It was a 59K with twin beds and a more open floor plan. It was a total game-changer for me. I learned as much as I could about it, and eventually found one at a local RV dealership. I wasn't ready to buy one yet, since I still had a couple of years before retirement, but I wanted to check out this new model. I was smitten. I could reach everything. The bathroom was in the back, and large for a van. There was no dinette table, but there was a pull-out table I could use as a dining table and desk. As soon as I stepped into the van, it felt like home. The next year, I went to the big RV show in Pomona and checked it out again, along with other models I still had my eye on. Once again, I looked at various Class B models and a few of the smaller Class C ones. Both Travato models were there side by side, so I could compare them. I stuck around the Travato display much of the afternoon and visited with other people from the Facebook group. I was already a big fan of Stephanie and James Adenaro of The Fit RV. I had started following their videos and blog when I first got the idea of living in an RV. They were there, and they welcomed me. I went all fangirl. I also met Russ Garfin, an executive with Winnebago, and other representatives. I took the opportunity to ask a ton of questions. If you're looking to buy an RV, do your homework. Do not impulse buy. It's easy to do, especially when a dealer is smooth-talking in your ear and offering killer deals. I'm convinced that a lot of disgruntled RV owners purchased the wrong RV for their needs. Go to shows and check out a lot of makes and models. Sit in them for whatever time it takes. Open cabinets. Pretend you're washing dishes, making the bed, or using the bathroom. Do not be shy and don't let a salesperson rush you. Make a list of your must-haves, but be prepared to compromise on a few things. When I first began looking at RVs, my must-haves were totally different than when I finally decided on a vehicle. At first, my main must-have was a dry bath, a bathroom where the shower and toilet are separate. Once I fell in love with the Class B vans, I cast that must-have aside and accepted the wet bath, a bathroom where the shower is in the toilet area. That compromise allowed me to embrace the RV I really wanted and needed. I have never regretted my decision. If you're thinking of getting an RV, know exactly what you want and need before pulling out your checkbook. Better yet, leave your checkbook, debit card, and credit cards at home when you're first looking at RVs. When you're ready to buy, get referrals for dealers from other RVers. Do not go to a place just because they are close to you. I ended up buying from a private individual I trusted, but many of my friends bought RVs hundreds and even thousands of miles away from their homes because of the good reputations and deals of certain dealers. 2. I sleep around. There are times when I wake up in the morning and have no idea where I am. And no, alcohol is not involved. I'm in my van, of course, but geographically confused. Am I in a Walmart? A rest stop? A casino or truck stop parking lot? A campground? In the boonies? An RV park? In a darkened van in the early morning, all locations look alike until you raise a shade. Even once the shade is up, sometimes I will wonder what state, town, or even time zone I'm in. This gives real meaning to the common RVing phrase, home is where you park it. I even have a pillow with that on it, given to me by a friend. I am home wherever I park my tiny house on wheels. Everything I own is in it. My van is like a nurturing parent. It carries me, cleans me up, feeds me, gives me a place to sleep. The first night I owned my Travato, which I named Novella, I slept in the Walmart parking lot in Greer, South Carolina. This practice is tagged Wally Docking, Walmart plus boondocking, or dry camping. I had purchased my RV from a man who lived in South Carolina and was a member of the Travato group. I'd flown in from Los Angeles, California to pick it up. He gave me a thorough tutorial on the features of the van, and then I left his home, determined to get on the road heading west. I was still working at the time and needed to get back to Los Angeles as soon as possible. There would be no time for sightseeing or recreational camping. I chose Walmart for my inaugural overnight for two reasons. One, it was a free overnight spot. Two, I needed to outfit the van with some basics like bedding and food. All I had brought with me were some clothing, toiletries, and a camping towel and face cloth. Technically, the overnight spot was not free. It cost me over $300. What surprised me was how well I slept. After a red eye to South Carolina, learning about the van, buying supplies, and then setting up the inside, I was exhausted. You would think I'd be a little apprehensive, but I wasn't. My first shower in the van was the next morning in the Walmart parking lot. It felt really weird taking that first shower. In my van, the bathroom is across the back, just a metal door away from people and vehicles coming and going. Yet there I was, wet, naked, and very vulnerable. I always make sure my doors are locked when I'm in the van, so no one is going to yank open those doors and expose me. But it still felt unsettling the first few times I showered inside it. It was the same with using my bathroom in parking lots and pullouts along the highway. The first few times, you feel rather exposed, like you're about to be caught with your pants down, literally. Like everything else, you get used to it. After all, nature is calling, and you have your own bathroom. There's no need for questionable rest stops or gas stations if you have an RV. During the coronavirus lockdown, this was especially important as public bathrooms were shuttered, along with the rest stops and the buildings housing them. I remember a day in late August 2019 when I was driving in pouring rain along I-90 heading toward my family's home in Massachusetts. I really needed to use the bathroom. No problem. I had my own. I found a very wide turnout, put the van in park, and set the parking brake. I left the engine running while I dashed to the back to do my business. I was just about done when I heard a knock on the side of the sliding door. It almost gave me a heart attack before...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?